Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you as we gather together on this day, this wonderful day that God has made and has blessed us with to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just want to let you all know that we are glad that you are here. I'm glad that you are here on this wonderful day together so that we can together fellowship and worship God, who has all of our lives in God's hands. Just a reminder this morning to for you to read your bulletin so that you can stay abreast of all that is happening here at Olney Presbyterian Church. There will be, after worship, the combined deacon and session meeting. Will be a meeting over in the chapel, but that is immediately after worship this morning. Also, please be aware that the annual meeting of the congregation will be held on Sunday, December the 7th, that will be following worship. But all reports are due to the church office no later than November the 16th. So please make sure you have your reports to Donna by November 16th. There are, of course, other things that will be going on here at Olney Presbyterian Church. Please always take the time not only to read your bulletin, but also go to our webpage to stay abreast of all that is happening here at Olney Presbyterian Church.
Our first scripture reading this morning from the Old Testament comes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 31 through 34, which can be found in your pew Bibles on page 680. Again, words from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it upon their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each man teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Our second reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Which can be found in your pew Bibles on page 911. Again, from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, In a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor regarded man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, Vindicate me against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, Though I neither fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will vindicate her, or she will wear me out by her continual coming. And the Lord said, Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God vindicate his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will vindicate them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" This is the word of the Lord.
Here we are this morning with another one of the Lord's parables. I love Luke's parables, the parables that we find in Luke's gospel. We've already looked at one of them this year. We looked at the parable of the Good Samaritan. But here we are with another parable. This one's about the importance of prayer, persistent prayer. Many of us know that prayer is an important part of what it means to live as God's people. It's something that we are called to do quite regularly. It's one of our spiritual disciplines as God's people. We are called to pray. And not just to pray, but to pray faithfully, to pray persistently, to pray always. I was talking with a friend of mine the other day, a man in his 80s, and he was telling me that even though he grew up in the church, that he hardly prayed at all. But he said that all of that changed when his daughter was born. He said not only did he start praying, but he prayed all the time. And I asked him why that was so. Did he have some kind of new religious experience when his daughter was born? Why did he start praying all of a sudden? And he said, no, he didn't have any new religious experience. He just figured that he needed all the help he could get. And I think that's true for all of us. We broken, frail, imperfect human beings. We need all the help we can get. Help that can only come outside of us. Help that can only come from God. And so we are called to pray. The writer Isaac Bashevis Singer once said that he only prayed when he was in trouble. The problem is, he said, that I'm in trouble all the time. And so he was constantly on his knees praying, and that's what the Lord wants from all of us. God wants us to be constantly on our knees, constantly praying, praying and never giving up. But of course, we acknowledge this morning that prayer is a mystery. Sometimes our prayers are answered and answered in the way that we want them answered, and sometimes they are not. We've all experienced the great joy of having our prayers answered. How wonderful that is, how joyous that is. But we've also experienced the deep disappointment whenever our prayers have not been answered. Maybe we prayed for someone to be cured and they died anyway. Maybe we prayed for a job or a position we didn't get. Maybe we've been praying and praying and praying for something to happen and it still hasn't happened, and the temptation for us is just to give up, to lose heart, and to just stop praying. Occasionally, someone will ask us preachers to give them the formula. Give us the formula that will guarantee that we can get a word through to God. Give us the formula, the words to say that will guarantee that God will answer my prayers. But there is no formula other than the one the Lord gives this morning. And what the Lord says is, don't give up. Don't lose heart. Pray persistently. Continue to pray. I'm inclined to believe that Jesus wants us to pray persistently, not just so that we might get what we want from God. You know, we're like that sometimes. We have our nice little to-do list that we want to give to God. Here, God, here's the things that I want. But we are called to pray persistently because it changes us. When we pray persistently, we become transformed. Our hearts and our minds and our desires become transformed. We become transformed so that God might get what God wants from us. Obedience, faithfulness, righteousness. That's why we come here consistently every Sunday, to be changed, to be transformed by the constant, persistent rhythms of worship, a big part of which is prayer. And so Jesus says, pray, pray always, never give up, don't lose heart, but pray. Of course, the parable that Jesus tells this morning is not just about prayer, but it's also about justice. That's what the widow in the parable is persistently asking for. Give me justice. Justice, widely defined, is giving someone their due, giving someone what they have coming to them. If you work 8 hours and I only pay you 6, then I owe you some justice. You have something coming to you. I owe you 2 more hours of pay. And so that's what justice is. It's giving someone what belongs to them, giving them their due, giving them what they are owed, giving them what they have coming to them. In Jesus' day, the temptation for many people was to believe that people like orphans and widows and strangers weren't owed anything. They didn't deserve anything, either because they weren't very productive members of the society or they weren't connected in any real way, so they didn't have much coming to them. And I suspect that many people still feel that way even today. One of the things about our immigration debate is that many people in our society are concerned that someone might get something that they don't deserve. They might get something that we feel they're not due. They might get health care benefits or some kind of benefits. And so that makes us a little angry. But that's human justice. In God's justice, orphans and widows and strangers are due a great deal. They are owed dignity. They are owed assistance. They are owed help, simply because they are human beings who God cares about. The Bible talks a lot about orphans and widows and strangers in our midst, and talks a lot about what is due to them. And so the widow in our parable this morning knows that she's owed something. She knows that she's due something. She knows that she's owed some justice. And so every day, that's what she asks for. She comes to the court and she asks for justice. Give me justice. Give me justice. I hate the way the NRSV interprets the word justice as vindication. That's due, but I like the word justice. It's like they're trying to avoid the word justice. Justice makes us a little unnervous, makes us a little nervous sometimes. But that's what the woman asked for. She says, give me justice. I want justice. Give me my due. Give me what's owed to me. The problem is that the judge in the parable is the worst kind of judge there can be. He's an unjust judge. He's a corrupt judge. He's a judge who is not inclined to give people what they are owed, what they are due. He doesn't care about human beings. He has no regard for human beings. And we're told that he doesn't even care about God. He doesn't have any fear of God. He's long since given up expecting to go to heaven. The only thing he cares about is himself. The only thing he cares about is the here and the now. And so he is inclined to refuse to give this widow what she wants, what she should have coming to her. But the widow doesn't give up. She keeps showing up day after day. She keeps persistently praying, persistently asking, persistently petitioning. In fact, that's the only power she has. She doesn't have a great deal of power. She doesn't have anything that would necessarily recommend her to the judge's attention. The only power that she has is the power to keep showing up, the power to keep praying. So every day, persistently, doggedly, she would get up and go to the courtroom, and that's what she would ask for. Give me justice. Give me justice. And we discover that even an unjust judge has his limits. Even though the judge has no regard for human beings and no fear of God, this woman continues to wear him down. He says to himself, I've got to do something about this woman. She's getting under my skin. She keeps showing up and showing up and showing up, and she keeps asking and asking and asking, and I can't take it any longer. I got to get rid of this woman. I got to get her out of my hair. And so he decides to vindicate her. He decides to give her what she has coming to her. He decides to give her the justice that she's been asking for. And the point that Jesus is making with this parable, of course, is not that God is anything like the unjust judge. Not that God is someone that has to be pestered and nagged to give us what we want, what we need, what we might have coming to us. But Jesus is saying that if an unjust judge is willing to grant justice in order to get rid of a pesky widow, how much more will a loving, gracious, caring God grant justice to those who ask for it? And so Jesus says, pray. Pray always. Be persistent. Pray. And never give up. Pray and never lose heart. Of course, we live in a world where people still cry for justice all the time. It's almost a constant refrain when we watch the news, when we read the paper, people are constantly wanting justice. Give me justice. Give us justice. Munther Isaac is one of my Facebook friends. He's a Palestinian Episcopal priest living in the West Bank. And that's one of the prayers that he prays every day. Lord, give me and my people justice. Give us justice from those settlers who are unjustly taking our land. Give us justice, Lord. I heard a group of women not long ago who were praying something similar. Women who were allegedly abused when they were just minors by some of the world's most powerful men. And that's what they're asking for. That's what they're praying for. Give us justice. Just give us justice. Just give us our due. Give us justice, Lord. The justice that people were looking for in Jesus' day, of course, was God's justice. They were praying for God's justice and righteousness to be revealed. And in the Hebrew and the Greek, the word justice and righteousness are the same words. They were praying for God to fulfill the promises that God had made to their ancestors. They were praying for the coming of God's kingdom, the same kingdom we pray for persistently every Sunday. That's what they were praying for. That's what they were looking for. That's what they wanted to see. They kept saying it again and again, Lord, give us justice. When are you going to give us justice? When are you going to reveal your righteousness? When are you going to bring your kingdom? Give us justice, Lord. And Jesus says that that's what we need to continue to pray for. To pray for God's coming kingdom, to pray for God's justice. Prayer, of course, is more than what we do when we get down on our knees. It's more than what we do when we go to our prayer closet early in the morning, our prayer closet. It's more than what we do when we're on our morning walk. Prayer is not just about communicating with God, but it's actually about doing something. We hear the phrase all the time, my thoughts and prayers are with you. We often hear it after some tragedy, thoughts and prayers are with you. It's usually uttered by very powerful people, my thoughts and prayers are with you. But they say that because they don't want to do anything about it. They can do something about it. They can often rid the world of the things that have caused a tragedy, but they don't want to do anything about it. And so they say thoughts and prayers. But prayer is about action. Prayer is about you and me living into God's kingdom right now, doing what we can to make God's kingdom a reality in our lives and a reality in our world right now. And so Jesus says, pray. Pray and don't give up. Pray and don't lose heart. Even in a world that seems so thoroughly unjust. We said earlier that justice was giving someone their due, giving someone what belongs to them. Which leads me to ask, what is it that belongs to God? What is God's due? What is God owed? And you and I know that. We know that the whole world belongs to God, including you and me, including all of us. We all belong to God. And that's what God wants. God wants the whole world. The kind of justice that God wants is a world where no one is hungry. A world where everyone has a place at the table, where everyone belongs, a world where the neediest are taken care of, a world where there's no more tears, a world where no one is being oppressed by anyone else, a world where there's enough for everybody, a world where some people don't have a whole lot of stuff and some people barely have enough to get by. God wants a world where everyone has what they need. That's what God's justice looks like. That's the kind of justice that God wants. Which prompts me to wonder this morning if maybe I've been reading this parable wrong or interpreting it wrong. I've often interpreted this parable as meaning that I am the widow. Are people like us that we're the widow? We're the widow petitioning God and praying to God, a God who's certainly not like the unjust judge, but it's a parable about us asking and praying like the widow. But sometimes I wonder, what if this parable is not like that at all? What if the widow in this parable was God? We're often told that God often identifies with the least of these, that God often identifies with the vulnerable, that God often identifies with the people that are often overlooked. What if the widow in this parable was God? And what if the unjust judge was me? Or what if the unjust judge was us? Isn't there a little bit of unjust judge in our heart sometime? I know I have a little bit of unjust judge in me. I have that place deep down inside of me where my heart can get hardened, where I stop up my ears to the pleas and the cries and the cruelties done to other people, where I have no regard to what people might think and have no regard sometimes even for what God might think. There's a lot of the unjust judge in me. And so what if his parable is about God constantly petitioning us? What if God is constantly telling us, give us justice? Give me justice. Randy, give me justice. Give me justice day in, day out, in a thousand different ways God is calling us. Give me justice. Give me the kind of world that I want. Give me justice. Give me the kind of world where everyone has a place at the table. Give me justice. Give me the kind of world where there's no more widows and orphans. Give me justice. Give me the kind of world where immigrants are no longer pulled out in the dead of the night and taken to some ungodly place. Give me justice. Give me justice. What if that's what God is asking from each and every one of us, that we give him the just world that God wants? I think that's the task of prayer. That's the reason that we are called to pray constantly. We're called to pray constantly so that we might wear down that bit of unjust judge that is in all of our hearts. To wear it down so that we might finally be able to give God what God wants, which is a just world where God's justice and righteousness and glory is revealed for everyone. Give us justice. Give me justice. Do justice. Let justice flow like a never flowing stream. That's what Jesus prays for all of us this morning. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your gracious, loving presence in the midst of our world. And we thank you for reminding us of who you are and what you have called us to be. And even more important, what you have called us to do. You've called us to be people of prayer, persistent prayer. You've called us to be people of worship, persistent worship. You've called us to be people who are willing to be transformed and changed. Not so much so that we can get what we want from you, but so that you might be able to get what you want from all of us, which is your justice. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.